Graduation, prom, the state championship, 4th of July weekend, senior trips, study abroad, the spring play, your summer job, summer camp, the list of stuff they've lost goes on and on. And in many cases, we haven't stopped to acknowledge it, to grieve the things that they've lost and that we've lost. In fact, many kids probably haven't ever really walked through grief at this scale. They don't have the tools to even recognize it, let alone cope with it. Today, we're talking about how to help your kids recognize and process grief well. You know, we've recorded a few episodes up to this point, and I feel like this topic of grief, it just keeps coming up because it's the reality of where we are. We're all grieving the loss of something, albeit small or big or something in the middle. It's hard to avoid this topic of grief while we're living in a pandemic, and it kind of just feels like an emotional roller coaster in so many ways. So, Kim, Chuck, how do I help my little kids? How do people help their big kids connect the dots between today's sadness and the loss of something that they cared about months ago?
I think one of the first things is parents is recognizing what our role is. Our role isn't to take the sadness away. Our role isn't to just fix them. What the experts say over and over again is what our kids need in this is they need an empathetic listener. So that actually means we don't have to think of all these profound things to say to them. What they need is for us to just sit in the pit with them and allow them to process. There's a great Brené Brown video on empathy that talks about that, where it's just climbing down in the pit and just sitting right there with them. It's also biblical too. That's what Job's friends did.
I'm glad we're talking about this because I will tell you one of the things that's made me the most sad about all the change is to think about high school seniors, college seniors, and all of those rites of passage, right? Prom and graduation in a big gathering and the graduation parties and all of those things that that our young folks have missed out on. And I do think that there is such a need to recognize and acknowledge that loss for those kids and with those kids. So if you're a parent, you know, it'd be powerful to just know how that happens. How do you do that well? And so for me, I know one of the things that I just tried to do, because, you know, like I had next door neighbor who was, you know, a senior in high school. So she was going through all of the loss of those things. And I just tried to just acknowledge her and recognize that. And, you know, we did some things to celebrate her in other ways, because we just, you know, I think the whole community felt like, man, we just want you to know we see this accomplishment and we celebrate this accomplishment. And it sucks that you don't get to celebrate it like you probably envisioned. I think it's just important to name that for our kids, that we see it and recognize it. And it does suck. That was a loss.
And their feelings are their feelings. I mean, we might look with our additional years and experiences and think, okay, so you didn't get to play baseball in the spring, but there's so much more. But we have to put ourselves in their spot. They don't know that there's so much more. This might be the season that they thought was going to be the breakthrough season for them. And so that empathetic listening, which is what you did with your neighbor, Chuck, not trying to dismiss it, but actually let them talk about it and then walk with them through it.
So it's fair to say that there's plenty to be grieving and we shouldn't feel bad or guilty to be grieving right now. It's where we are. And
it's human.
What you're saying, Kim, is it's where our kids are. And we need to, it's okay that they feel sad.
Yes.
In fact, I would say it's essential.
Yes.
It's essential. I mean, think about what we know as adults. I really think that those things we don't grieve become literally things that stunt our emotional growth. I don't think anybody grows beyond what they're unwilling to grieve. And so obviously we don't want our kids' growth to be stunted in their 13-year-old self or their 18-year-old self. And so a big way that we come alongside them and support them as parents in the midst of this pandemic and this crazy year is we help guide them into grieving. I think that's a really essential thing that we are called to do as parents in this moment.
And help them name what they're going through. And they might not even know. So we can just try some things out. Oh, that must be really sad that you, and they might say, I'm not sad. I'm just super, I'm pissed off. But once they name it, then it's much easier to walk through it and deal with it because you know what you're dealing with.
Right. We had a friend recommend a group or a book to us for little kids to put names to their feelings called The Color Monster.
Yeah.
Did you guys do this book with your kids or have you seen it?
No, it's a
new my gosh, it's so good. If you have little kids and you want to help them name their emotions, the book, The Color Monster book, is so good. When Louie's upset, we'll go, Color Monster, are you feeling sad? And he goes, yes. Aww. He has a little lisp with his yes. It's really cute. Anyway, so that's been a helpful book for us just as far as processing emotions with a toddler right now. But what are some practical ways to help our kids, maybe our older kids even, process their emotions in this time? And how do we help them grieve?
Well, I think first of all, helping them name it and then being an empathetic listener, saying, gosh, that would be so disappointing to miss out on that. And then, I mean, give them plenty of time to grieve. You don't want to go right to this, but then work with them to talk about things that you have control over and what you can do. I have a friend who it's her daughter's senior year this year, and they're still doing virtual school. And she was looking forward to so many things. And in the senior year, the fun stuff starts at the beginning of the school year. It's not just at the end of the year. And so they start talking about what do you have control over? So she is in a study group with her friends, and they're studying at different houses during the week. So at least she's still getting with her friends. She's enjoying it. And the parents are trying to do some fun little events. They had a back-to-school breakfast for the small group of kids instead of the big thing that they were going to do at school. So help, because there are, even though there are many things out of our control, there are still things that we can control. So helping our kids identify that.
Yeah. Another practical one is a spiritual practice, the practice of lament,
yes.
Lamentation. There's a book in the Bible called Lamentation. And it's just a sad book. I mean, it's just a lot of complaint. And here's what happened, God. And then it ends with the statement of trust. And I think that's a really important skill for all of us to lean into. So it might be just, hey, if you have your teenager, write a letter to God and just express to God how they feel, or a letter to themselves, or a letter to their future self, or whatever, you know, however you want to do that, given where they are spiritually. Where they're just lamenting and naming that. And I think there could be also power in, you know, some of the things that we've seen play out in other journeys that we've done. I mean, you know, what do you want to do with that letter afterwards? You want to keep that letter? You want to burn that letter as a release of that? Some of those kind of physical things can be moments where it's like, I got it out. I named the emotion. I felt it. And now I'm recognizing I can move on from this place. So I think some of those practical, tangible rituals around lamentation could be something to guide some of our, certainly our older kids into.
Chuck, you just breezed over something I think really profound when you gave your summary of the Book of Lamentations. You said it's a sad book and lots of complaining and saying what's difficult. And it ends with a statement of trust. You just dropped that bomb and we didn't go there. But I want to go there for a minute. What you just said, yeah, I think is really important and something we could do with our kids is let them lament, let them say all the things that they're feeling and the things that are hard and that are hurtful right now, and have them practice ending with a statement of trust. Okay. And I trust you, Daddy, that you're going to take care of me during this. Okay. And I trust my teacher that she knows what's best for me. And okay, God, I trust you that there are good things on the other side of this. Teaching our kids how to trust in the midst of or at the end of grieving, I think could be really powerful.
Well, and this is the year of soft skills. So, and I think learning how to grieve, learning how to get those thoughts out, that's going to be more valuable to our kid.
Another thing, Chuck, that you had said in another episode was practicing gratitude, even through difficulty. So there's value and importance in being honest about where we are. And there's also value and importance in still having hope. And that hope can come through gratitude, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think particularly as you think about, Kim, you said it earlier, and I think you're so right. We have to put ourselves in the mindset of the 18-year-old or the 21-year-old who doesn't know that, hey, you're not going to think about it the same way 20 years from now. All they have is their 21 years of experience or their 18 years of experience. Gratitude is a way, I think, to help them expand their perspective and pause and be thankful for the 10 things that are still going well amidst the 8 things, 25 things, whatever it may be, that aren't going well. It's a good way to help them begin to have that kind of perspective that ultimately comes with time. We all know that, but how do you bring that into the present for them? Because one of the things that gratitude also does for me, and I think for everybody, is if I can connect to gratitude, then I can connect to joy and I can connect to peace and I can connect to God. Like, that's one of the things that gratitude is always a pathway to. And, you know, we want our kids to be able to have peace amidst all the crazy things that are changing in their worlds. So training in gratitude is a way to help them to have that peace.
Part of the training too, you talked about it when you talk about Lamentations, Chuck, is learning how to, you know, some people think they can't bring that stuff to God, that's too raw. So training in communicating with God in a very real and vulnerable way, I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. But we need help doing it. We need to practice it.
That's right. Well, and I think the same way when we're upset and hurting, sometimes we just want someone to sit in it with us. That's what our kids are asking for too, is I think there's value in just knowing mom and dad are willing to sit in this with me, and they see me and they hear me and they'll feel this with me. I think there's value there.
And sharing where our feelings overlap, where we're sharing. We don't want to make up and say, you know, if we're really glad soccer's not happening because we didn't much like, we don't want to make it up. But where our feelings overlap, it helps normalize what they're going through.
We're all in this parenting thing together. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, and ideas. So reach out to us all over email at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S. You Can Do This is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.